right, we're here in Matthew chapter 7, and we're just going verse by verse through the book of Matthew, verse by verse through the book of Matthew. And when you're going through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 6, it just kind of stands out. And, you know, probably the first time you read it, you're probably like, what is this talking about? You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And this is essentially kind of a standalone verse here in Matthew 7. So it's kind of like its own sermon. We're only looking at this one verse as our main text before we look at other places in the Bible. Now, what he's literally saying here in Matthew 7, verse 6, he talks about dogs and he talks about swine. He's talking about animals. And when he's saying, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, what he's saying is this, you know, don't buy your dog a filet mignon steak. Don't buy your dog really expensive food and just like, oh, I love my dog so much, I've got to treat my dog to a restaurant that took me like months to save up for, right? Don't give what's nice to the dogs. Give them the leftovers because dogs eat whatever you give them. Right. Give them the leftover scraps. I mean, the same thing with swine, probably even more so with swine. Literally, I mean, as we say, they eat the slop. They eat whatever. So, look, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a dog or a pig, but let me give you some advice. Don't give your expensive food to the dog. I mean, if you've got leftover Minute Burger, give it to the dog. If you've got leftover Italianis, eat it yourself, okay? That's my advice. That's what he's literally saying here in this verse. And he says, if you do that, it says, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We're going to talk about that again here in a second. But go to Matthew chapter 15 real quickly. Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Let me just give you one verse with dogs and one verse with swine just to show you. And a swine's referring to a pig, in case you're not familiar with that term. So a swine is a pig. So dogs and pigs. Here's what it says in Matthew 15, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I mean, isn't this true with dogs? I had a dog growing up, and what does that dog do? They sit underneath the table the entire time just waiting for anything to fall to the ground. It doesn't matter what it is, they will eat it up, right? Go to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 14. And this is the story of the prodigal son. And it says here, when he's in his time of just hitting rock bottom here, Luke 15, verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I mean, this man gets so desperate that he is willing to eat even what the swine and the pigs eat. Look, that's pretty disgusting, because usually what's fed to pigs is some pretty gross garbage, I guess you could call it food, right? It's not something that any of us would want to eat, but he's so desperate, he's willing to eat what the swine do, because those are two specific animals. They will eat whatever there is. They are not picky or choosy at all. Now, go to Matthew 13 real quickly. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Remember what it said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And, you know, when you're thinking of holy, you're thinking of righteous and godly, and then you see the word pearl, and it says here in Matthew 13, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So a pearl is something that is extremely valuable. Right? It's something that has real value, something that has money, it's something that has worth. And so holy or pearl in this story is something with real value, something that is precious, something that is dear. And the Bible's saying, hey, don't give what's holy to the dogs or the pigs. Don't give, you know, the pearls or something with real value to the dogs or the pigs. Okay? Now, to really understand what he's talking about, because you really think that he just stops the Sermon on the Mount to just say, by the way, don't feed your dog expensive food. Don't feed your pig expensive food. Is there really a purpose to kind of bring that up? I mean, is that really worth bringing up in the greatest sermon ever? Probably not. So what exactly is he referring to in this verse? Go to Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. And let me show you what symbolically a dog is in the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." So the Bible mentions here with the women, it says, no whore of the daughters of Israel. What it's referring to is in the local church, because in the local church, there is a standard where if you have grievous and wicked sins, you're not actually even welcome in the local church. Now, of course, all of us are sinners, but very few people have such major sins in their life where they would be restricted from the local church, right? One example, it says, no whore of the daughters of Israel. And although it keys in on a woman, because when it comes to people that are prostitutes, most are women because the guys are the ones that are lustful that are willing to pay for it. But of course, the same would be true for a guy that was a whore or a guy that was a prostitute. The same thing would apply. Then it says, this is the second half of the verse, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And so the Bible refers to a sodomite. You say, what is that referring to? Well, the term sodomite comes from Genesis 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, what is Sodom and Gomorrah known for? Being destroyed by God because of homosexuality, because of the LGBT. Right. What a sodomite is a homosexual. That's where it gets the term from, Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, on a side point, they've actually discovered that story is true from archaeological evidence in more recent times. And of course, that's a story people would like to scoff at, and yet they're like, well, it seems like we have the evidence for Genesis 19. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, the Bible always proves itself to be true. Then it says here in verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So in verse 17, it mentions a whore of the daughters of Israel and a sodomite of the sons of Israel. The next verse, at the first part of verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. Do you see how thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore correlates to the first part of verse 17? There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. Whore, whore. And by the way, it's a Bible word. Right. I'm just reading the Word of God. But the second half of verse 17 says, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. And what does that correlate to in verse 18? Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. And see, what the Bible compares a sodomite to is a dog. You say, well, why does the Bible use the term dog for a male homosexual? Because once again, this is of the sons of Israel, not of the daughters of Israel. Why does the Bible use a dog to compare it to a male homosexual? Why? Because dogs have many attributes that are similar to vice pongi. That's why. Now look, if you have a dog at home, that's fine. I'm not against you. I had a dog growing up. I loved my dog. And look, if that dog was around today, I would probably love my dog. You know, but here's what I would say. What I would recommend to you do is, you know what, animals are wild animals, whether they're domesticated or not. Make sure you have an animal that if it turns on you, you're big enough and strong enough that you don't have to worry about it taking you out. Unless you have like a guard dog that you're keeping outside. But if you've got a house pet, don't have a dog that is like twice your size. Because if it does turn on you, it's like, well, you're in trouble, right? Our dog was, you know, a little mutt, right? It was like 7 kilograms, 8 kilograms. So it's like it would be afraid to turn on us because it was so small growing up, right? But it compares a dog to a male homosexual because there's many similar attributes, right? Now go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2. And one of the obvious similar examples is think about when dogs get in heat. They are disgusting creatures when they get in heat. Right. You say, wow, you know, how is that the same as a homosexual? Because the average male homosexual has 1,000 partners in their lifetime. Right. That's disgusting. That's filthy. I would think that's disgusting if a man had 1,000 female partners in his life. I mean, 1,000 partners, you've got to be kidding me. And of course, you know, dogs are very filthy and unclean animals. And the Bible speaks about the wicked shall not live out half their days because oftentimes their own sin ends up just cursing them. They end up dying at a young age because of their filthiness. So the Bible mentions a dog and it mentions a male homosexual. And you say, well, you know, why are you preaching this sermon? We're going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. This is what Jesus is talking about in the world's most famous sermon, right? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, and it says this, "But it has happened on them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, his, the sons of Israel, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." What is a sow? A sow is a female pig that has given birth to piglets before. And so when we're talking about a sow, we're talking about a female pig. So what are we seeing? Well, the word for a male homosexual in the Bible is what? A dog. That is very obvious in Deuteronomy 23. What is not quite as clear, but you can see in this verse, is that the word for a female homosexual in the Bible is a sow or a female pig. You say, why? Because there's many similar attributes between female pigs and lesbians or tomboys. I mean, you can just look at the picture in the front of our bulletin. This is a disgusting animal. Pigs are pretty filthy animals. They're pretty disgusting animals, right? And you know, that's what the Bible's describing as the LGBT. And look, I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. This is God's description of the LGBT. And I would say this with any sermon I ever preach, regardless of what I preach, you search the scriptures in your free time to see whether those things are so. I mean, everybody should go home, if you're not familiar with this or you think I'm too extreme, and read Genesis 19 and Judges 19. And if you walk away and say I'm a hate preacher, then you know what? I think that you were listening to the audio Bible while you were in another room. And so it finished, but you weren't actually there. I would recommend everybody read it with an open mind and you decide what it says. Because if you're saved and you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, you know who is a better teacher than me? The Holy Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit of truth can guide you and teach you, but you must be willing to have an open mind to what the Word of God says. Go in your Bible back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. This is not really my favorite topic to preach on. Now, today we're going verse by verse through the book of Matthew. I don't avoid anything in the Word of God. This is what comes up. I preach on it. It's exactly the topic that is coming up here in Matthew chapter 7. Well, I mean, Jesus, why do you always preach against the LGBT? Jesus never did. Did you read the Sermon on the Mount?
Right.
You obviously didn't understand Matthew 7 verse 6. This is exactly what he's talking about. But you say, well, why do you preach on it a lot? Because it's a major issue in our country.
Right.
I mean, if we lived in a country where there was very few LGBT, you know what? I would very rarely preach on the subject. But it's a real issue.
Right.
You can't drive anywhere without seeing a billboard of Vice Pongied everywhere. I mean, if you don't have like a YouTube block or something that stops the commercials, isn't like every commercial that pops up some sort of cross-dresser?
Right.
That's not normal.
Right.
And here's the thing, you might be brainwashed, but you know that doesn't feel normal. It feels weird. You think, man, as a guy, why are other guys wearing dresses? Yeah, you're right, it's not normal. It doesn't matter how common it is, that's not normal. It's weird, it's bizarre. But that's the country that we live in. The LGBT is a big issue in this country. We are one of the most progressive countries when it comes to the LGBT. And other than Taiwan and Thailand, we're probably number three in Asia of being the most pro-LGBT. Believe it or not, Taiwan's actually considered number one above Thailand. But I don't think the Philippines is that far behind. And considering we're the Christian country, what an embarrassment.
Right.
Point number one, why is it you don't give that which is holy unto the dogs or cast your pearls before swine? Because they can't receive it. They can't receive it. Notice what it says in Matthew 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What it's literally saying is that you go to feed a dog, and the dog rejects what you're giving and gets mad and rends or tears you, attacks you. The pig sees what you're trying to give, and the pig gets mad and just attacks you.
Right.
That's what it's saying. You feed the animal, and the animal rejects what you're giving. I mean, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I'd say, especially as I preached a sermon several months ago on pigs, and I saw videos, it's like, man, if I was feeding a pig, I would just like throw the item for like 20 feet away because they are very scary and vicious animals when they get hungry.
And the Bible's saying they might reject what you give and turn again and attack you. Even though you say, but this is my dog that, you know, has been my best friend for all these years. You know, I saw a video on our drive up here to Manila here today. You know, you have all those Facebook videos, and there's this guy that, you know, is friends with lions, and I guess he had been gone for a couple weeks, and he hugs his lion that's like five times his size. It's like, are you insane? Have you not seen all these videos where this grizzly bear is my best friend for 10 years, and then all of a sudden it attacks you and kills you? It's like, are you insane? I mean, like, what are you doing? Go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. So again, in the Bible, we have two very clear stories about the LGBT. In Genesis 19 and Judges 19. And people debate about Genesis 9. We're going to look at Genesis 19 and Judges 19. Two very clear stories, clearly about the LGBT. Nobody can dispute it at all. And so you form your opinion about the LGBT based on what the Bible says. Isn't that what you should do?
Right.
That's what we all should do. Well, let's see what the Bible tries to tell us in Genesis 19 about the LGBT. Genesis 19, verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Now look, when the Bible says know them, it's called a euphemism. It's called an expression to represent something else because God's not trying to be too graphic. It's not saying, hey, we want to shake hands with the men that came to town and say hello. Right? They came to town, you know, like in the U.S., when you have new neighbors, you bring over cookies or something like that. Or Christmas time, you exchange cookies, at least where I'm from. It's kind of just the, you know, thing you do out in the country to be friendly or nice or whatever. That's not what they're doing. When they say they want to know them, they have something else in mind that is perverted. This is where you get the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. This is where you get the phrase Sodomite. "And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren," or "I ask you, brethren, do not so wickedly." So Lot shuts the door and he's right here in front of this big crowd of male homosexuals, the LGBT. And he says, don't do this wicked thing. Verse 8, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Look, Genesis 19, verse 8 is a verse I don't think I'd believe if the Bible didn't say it. I mean, a guy literally offered his daughters. Now, let me say this. I think Lot is just lying when he says his daughters have not known a man. When you see what takes place later on in the chapter, they clearly have known men before. You wouldn't do something so perverted. But it's possible Lot is just an idiot and extremely naive as a parent. I doubt that. I think he's just lying to try to get out of the situation. But he says, here's my daughters. You want to defile and attack sexually these men? Do whatever you want with my daughters. Now, look, I'm a father with a young daughter that's 4 years old. It's like, what is wrong with his father? Like, seriously, what's wrong with you? I mean, if somebody tried to mess with my daughter, it's like, you know what? You're going to get a pounding. And then he offers his daughter to try to appease these homosexuals. So what is he doing? He's offering that which is holy unto the dogs. Right? That's exactly what he's doing. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. The only thing I can think of worse is they would actually kill Lot afterwards. That's all I can think of that would be worse. But what do we see? Lot offers that which is holy on the dogs, and what happens? The dogs reject it, and then they're turning again trying to rend you. Isn't that exactly what we see in Genesis 19? Isn't that exactly what we see in Matthew 7, verse 6? That is exactly what's taking place. He's giving that which is holy unto the dogs. Here's my daughters. And they reject it. And they said, we're going to deal worse with you than we're going to with those men. Well, that's only one story. Well, how many stories do you need to be scared of these people? Judges 19, let me show you the other story in the Bible. I mean, we got two stories. So, and look, I encourage you, I don't have time to go verse by verse through Genesis 19. Look, if you're saved, read Genesis 19 in your free time and come to your own conclusion. you will not come to a different conclusion than what I'm preaching here today unless you just don't want to believe what the Bible says. But they're so funny. They're so nice. I mean, Vice Pongy is so funny. How many times has Vice Pongy gotten in trouble because he made some inappropriate rape joke or something like that? Oh, I was just kidding. That doesn't come into a normal person's mind.
Right.
Most people don't make jokes like that.
Right.
But if your mind and conscience is defiled, you don't understand what's appropriate, then when people get really mad, oh, I was just joking. I didn't mean anything by it. Well, most people wouldn't joke about something so serious, you idiot.
Right.
But he's been on the news several times for that I've seen. And of course, what does the media do? Well, it's on the news. Then they kind of brush it aside because they don't want you to realize that. I've seen it pop on the news many times of him making inappropriate jokes that none of us would ever even think of. But that's because our mind and conscience is not defiled, as the Bible says, like Vice Pongy. Judges 19. Judges 19, verse 22. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, which means a son of Baal or a son of the devil, beset the house round about and beat at the door. And spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. Now look, when it's nighttime and somebody's banging on your door, you know what the first reaction is? A bit of fear. Like, why is someone banging at my door at 10 o'clock at night? I don't like answering the door late at night. It's like, why is someone knocking at my door late at night? You never know what can take place. But they bang on the door. They said, bring out that man. And the man, the master of the house, went out onto them. So he does the same thing as Lot. Basically, he goes out and he talks to these, you know, male homosexuals, these dogs, and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man has come into mine house, do not this folly. Don't do something wicked. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden. Like, what is wrong with these parents? Like, okay, let me help you out, man. Being a father 101, don't offer your daughters to wolves, right? You don't really have to be a father for long. I don't understand, because there's a natural affection you have toward your daughter to protect her. And, of course, to your sons also, but especially to your daughter. I don't understand just, you know, how they degrade women in these stories. Like, what is wrong with them? I mean, that's just, I guess, the way society looked at women. You know, that's ridiculous. He's like, here's my daughter and his concubine. Them I will bring out now and humble ye them. Humble ye them? That's an interesting choice of words. And do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. What took place? He offered that which is holy on the dogs. And what takes place? They reject it. Same thing. They reject it. And as you go on with the story, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto him. So they reject it. They're coming after this guy. And the guy basically just throws out the concubine, shuts the door, deadbolts it, puts like a chair behind it, pulls out his gun or weapons or whatever, right? And they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. And, you know, if you go on with the story, this woman was murdered by these male homosexuals. They abused her and killed her.
Right.
By the way, it's pretty similar to a story that happened in the Philippines just, what, 2.5 years ago or something like that?
Yep.
I mean, it was all in the news. It's just like, I mean, people are, and you know, what's the defense? Well, I mean, of course it wasn't the homos, because they're not interested in women. And then they get off as innocent. I'm just like, what is wrong with people? I mean, literally, the Bible shows you this exact story. It's like you want to scream at the news, Judges 19, Judges 19. Man, I wish I had run in that courtroom and just yelled, Judges 19, Judges 19. And then hopefully someone would read it, the judge would read it and say, whoa, wait a minute. This is like what's going on in this situation.
Right.
I mean, it's exactly the same situation from a couple years ago here in the Philippines. So don't say this doesn't take place in 2024. Turn your Bible to John 12. John 12. John 12. See, what's the Bible really literally trying to say in Matthew 7? You know what? Let me give you some advice. Don't try to appease the LGBT. Don't try to placate the LGBT. Why? They're implacable. They cannot be placated, is what the Bible's saying in Romans 1. I mean, you say, well, I mean, if we just give them this, then they'll calm down. And then they reject it and turn again and rend you. Nope, didn't work, did it? They cannot be placated. They want to defile this world. They want to defile our children. You say, well, I think that's too extreme. Well, apparently you didn't read the last verse in Romans 1. Because not only they take pleasure in them, not only do they take pleasure in doing those things, they take pleasure in them that do them also. They want to defile this world, and they are literally coming after your children.
Right.
Look, I got 3 young children. I got to be very careful with my kids. And literally, it's just like, I don't understand how dumb people are or just brainwashed on this topic. I mean, literally, in the United States, they had the San Francisco Gay Choir. They literally wrote a song about molesting kids. And when people were very upset about that, they're like, can't you take a joke? Who jokes about something like that? What are you talking about? Or there was a basketball player, you know, Tim Hardaway, like 15 years ago. Who remembers that story? Tim Hardaway, the basketball player. They asked him, you know, like, how would you feel about having a gay teammate? He's like, man, I wouldn't want it. I'd tell them to trade him, or I'd ask to be traded myself. He's like, I don't want to. He's like, don't you realize that that's bigotry and homophobia? He's like, well, I don't care. I hate gay people. And he gets fired from all of his sports deals and everything like that because of what he said about the LGBT. Then you've got the big celebrity in the U.S., the guy who played on Star Trek, Sulu, that Asian LGBT guy, that's one of the big LGBT guys in the U.S., and he wrote a song talking about molesting Tim Hardaway, and everyone's laughing. They think it's funny. He's not joking.
Right.
And then people say, can't you take a joke? Who makes jokes like that? Like, what is wrong with people?
Right.
Look, I like to joke. I like to have fun. Guess what? I don't make perverted, sick, disgusting jokes like that.
Right.
How is that funny? And I think some people have been watching way too much TV where their minds are already getting defiled by all the garbage that you watch, so you're desensitized to stuff like that. I'm sorry, jokes about raping people are not funny. I don't understand how anyone could find that funny, but people think these things are hilarious. You're brainwashed. That's the truth. Now, here's the thing. We expect this from the world, but then you've got the Christians that act just like the world. And say, well, we ought to accept them, give them a chance. And then they take it to another level. We just got to try to get them saved. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, okay, if you were Lot in Genesis 19, you shut the door. Let me ask you, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Do you realize for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? All of us. You're not just you. I've also sinned. I mean, I don't even know what to say to people like that. Are you kidding me? Is that really what would have worked in Genesis 19 or Judges 19? Oh, they would have killed you immediately for bringing up the Bible because they hate the Word of God.
Right.
But I don't want you to get the wrong idea, because let me be clear to you. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world.
Right.
He died for every single person, and he died for the sins both before and after salvation for all of us, but also he died for the sins for every reprobate and wicked person in the world. He took the penalty upon himself for everybody.
Right.
He died for the sins of the whole world. And it says here in John chapter 12 and verse 32, and I, this is Jesus speaking, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So Jesus is saying, if I get lifted up, if I die on the cross, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Of course, the Bible says earlier in John that no one can come on to God, no one can come on to Christ except the Father to send him, draw him, right? The Bible says we have to be drawn onto Christ to be saved. And of course, Jesus says that he died for everybody's sins, and he's going to draw all people onto him. But then why does the Bible also say that you can't come to God unless you're drawn? The implication would be, well, wait a minute. Even though he's going to draw everybody, there's also a stipulation where you're not being drawn. You say, well, how do I reconcile this? Well, it's in John 12. Look at verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. It does not say they did not believe.
Right.
It says they could not believe. There are people in this world that are walking dead men and walking dead women. They're basically like zombies. They're half alive and half already in the lake of fire. I mean, they're alive. They're not going to heaven. They can't believe. You say, well, what if they did believe? They can't believe. Yeah, everybody that believes will receive everlasting life. But there's some people, a small segment of people that cannot believe. Even though that he's going to draw everybody onto him, it doesn't mean that's permanent no matter what you do. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me ask you a question. Should you try to give the Antichrist the gospel during the end times? Because, I mean, he's a man just like us. I mean, why can't he get saved? Because he can't believe. He's already rejected salvation very clearly.
Right.
I mean, you know what Judas Iscariot needed? He just needed someone to come and show him some love after he betrayed Jesus and give him the gospel. I mean, he heard the gospel. He was preaching the gospel for 3 years, and he didn't believe it. Bible's clear he was a devil from the beginning.
Right.
It says earlier in John. But here's the thing. It's like he heard the gospel for 3 years. Do you really think after having heard the gospel 1,000 times and preaching the gospel 1,000 times, that on the 1,001st time when you give him the gospel, man, I never realized it was by faith alone. Do you realize how ridiculous that is? There are people that cannot believe. This is what the Bible says. Go to Jude chapter 1. Jude 1. Jude 1. Now, I know whenever you bring up this topic, because we always have, you know, a lot of new people at church, a lot of visitors, and whenever you, and I'll be honest, the first time I heard somebody preach like this about the LGBT, I've never liked the LGBT because I'm a normal, you know, red-blooded guy, and any man especially feels this way. It's like, yeah, we don't like being around these people. They're weird.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. But I thought it was a little bit extreme, to be honest. And then when I saw what the Bible said, it was like, you know what? I'm wrong. I'm wrong, and the Word of God is right. It's like, obviously, these people are a lot worse than what I've heard on TV.
Right.
They're not just weird. They're actually dangerous people. I remember I talked to my wife about this before we were married, and, you know, I explained to my wife about the reprobate doctrine. I showed her everything the Bible said, and, you know, this is a tough thing to take in the first time you hear it. And I remember, you know, my wife told me this story, and any of the ladies at the room, you can ask my wife after the service, she'll tell you that this is true, that she was here in the Philippines, she was in Pampanga, and then it was like, you know, not so crowded on the jeepney, and there was these two homosexuals, and this little kid came in, this little boy. And then the homosexuals started talking to this little boy. And then they said once he left, oh, this kid is going to be easy. All we have to do is buy him something. We can do whatever we want with him. And my wife called me. And she was shocked. She's like, you won't believe what took place. And then she explained. I was like, well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I've been telling you this. But sometimes you got to actually, unfortunately, see it. And then you realize it. It's like, man, I cannot believe these people are that wicked.
Right.
But that's actually the truth. This is what the Bible teaches. Right. Bible's clear, they cannot believe. You say, well, what do you do if you talk to someone? You're talking to just one person, not a group, one person, they tell you that they're part of the LGBT. I just move on to the next conversation. I don't give that which is holy on the dogs, neither do I cast my pearls before swine if I'm talking to a tomboy. Jude 1, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who before of old ordained this condemnation. Ungodly men turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. Now, when it comes to the angels, basically 1/3 of the angels went with the devil and rejected God, and 2/3 stayed on the right path. Now, here's the thing. We as people are saved by grace through faith based on what we believe. Angels are not judged based on what they believed. The one third that went with the devil, basically by their works, they were condemned, and they essentially became what would be, say, like reprobates. Where basically, like, they're never going to have a chance to go back to heaven. I mean, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, of course, the devils are around this earth today. They possess people today, but they have no chance. And the Bible's using them as an example. What the Bible says here in verse number 6 is that they're reserved in everlasting chains. Now, here's the thing. When you want to go to a nice restaurant to propose to your girlfriend or whatever, you call up to make a reservation. Because it's a popular restaurant, there might not be a spot available. And you call up basically saying that, hey, on Monday at 6 p.m., we're going to be there. You make a reservation, a spot. Well, the Bible's saying these angels, they have a reservation in the lake of fire. And you say, but pastor, if you make a reservation, you can cancel that reservation, huh? Here's the thing. The angels aren't the one that made the reservation for the lake of fire. God did. God's not canceling that reservation. God's like, hey, I got a reservation for the one-third of the angels that rejected me. They will be going to the lake of fire. I just want to let you know, Michael, you know, just to, you know, later on, you're going to be casting many of them into the lake of fire. You say, what does that have to do with the LGBT? The next verse. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It is the same way with the Sodomites, the homosexuals, as the angels that rejected God. Now, are they in hell right now? Nope. But guess what? They got a reservation. And since God's the one that made the reservation and God does not cancel that reservation, they have no hope. Right. They cannot believe. That's what the Bible teaches. That's how a reservation works. And they didn't make the reservation. God made the reservation. And God's not going to cancel that reservation. They are doomed for all eternity. They will split hell wide open one day. Right. Go in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, I can't believe you're preaching on the LGBT. We're just going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you've heard of that sermon before. It's known as the most famous and greatest sermon ever preached. Well, I mean, Jesus never preached on the LGBT. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. You say, well, why does he only mention one verse? Because the LGBT wasn't that big of an issue 2,000 years ago. We literally live in a day, it's like a plague that destroys society. And you know what the only hope is for fixing that? Fire and brimstone raining down from heaven, destroying. Wow, I mean, that's Genesis 19. Show me something, you know, other than that. Well, how about in the first century AD when the same thing happened to Pompeii? God doesn't change. I'm the Lord, I change not, the Bible says. Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There are people that lose their conscience. Now here's the thing. All of us are sinners, and all of us have many temptations to do wrong. And sometimes we give in to temptations. And when we give in to temptations, what takes place? We have a feeling of guilt that comes across us. They don't have that. When you become a child of the devil, a son of Belial, a reprobate, your conscience is seared with a hot iron. Meaning anything they do, they do not feel guilty for. That's a pretty scary thing because I'll tell you this, raising three kids, age 6, 4, and about to turn 2 years old, you know what? Even my son Ezra that is not yet 2 years old, he knows the difference between right and wrong. I've said before in sermons, and I believe this because the reason why you discipline and spank children is when they disobey. And you know what? My kids have been smart enough by the age of 1 year old, and I mean 12 months, to understand the difference between right and wrong. Where they know what you're saying, they know what's right, and they choose to disobey. Kids understand at a young age right and wrong. They know it's wrong to do. Now, they still do wrong, just like we still do wrong. But they have that conscience that you can see as a parent at a young age. Sometimes, you know, you tell your kids, it's like, don't do that. And they'll look at you, and it's like, they're tempted. Should I obey? Is it worth the risk? They understand at a young age. It's pretty scary, though, someone who doesn't feel bad about anything they ever do. They're just going to do worse and worse and worse and worse. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And by the way, if you don't like what the Bible says, let me just say this, that this is actually what the secular world teaches about psychopaths as well. They're like, there's people without a conscience. We don't understand why they don't have a conscience. Well, the Bible tells us why they don't have a conscience. It's not because they're born that way, because the world is wrong when they teach psychopaths are psychopaths at birth. That is not true.
Right.
Everybody is born with a conscience. But some people can lose that conscience because they know very well there are people without a conscience. You cannot tell me people that are serial killers and the most wicked, depraved people on the planet, you cannot tell me that that's normal, that they go to bed with a guilty conscience every night, they just can't help themselves but kill people. That's ridiculous. They don't have a conscience. They don't feel bad about it. The Jeffrey Dahmers, the Ted Bundys, the John Wayne Gacys, these famous people like that, famous serial killers. In fact, I've got a quote from this person. Let me see if I can find it here. It's on my phone somewhere. And I am not tech savvy. Where did I put this? Give me 1 minute. All right. It's an interactive sermon. Ah, here we go. You got to be willing to embarrass yourself if you're going to be a preacher. That's just the way it works, right? There was a famous atheist who died a week ago. I posted about it on Facebook. And his name is Daniel Dennett. There's something known as the Four Horsemen of New Atheism. And two of these men have already died and gone to hell. And Richard Dawkins is one of the ones that's left alive. And I started reading this book by this guy that died last week. I started reading it like a month ago. I haven't finished it. But his name's Daniel Dennett, and he writes books to convince people God is not real. That is his whole life's objective. Here's a quote very early in the book, Darwin's Dangerous Idea, that I read. Here's what it says. The kindly God who lovingly fashioned each and every one of us and sprinkled the sky with shining stars for our delight, that God is like Santa Claus, a myth of childhood, not anything that a sane, undiluted adult could literally believe in. You mean to tell me someone like this you can just give the gospel to and they're going to get saved? Someone who's just blasphemous and obnoxiously rude? I never understood it with atheists. Like, okay, so you don't believe in God. So what's your point? Why are you bothering those that do believe in God? Don't you have something better to do with your time? Rather than trying to convince people God is not real? Look, a guy like Daniel Dennett, it doesn't matter how many times you gave him the gospel. He's already a child of the devil. He's not going to get saved.
Right.
He literally writes books for a living, and he's rich by writing books saying, God is not real, and here's my philosophical reason why. Someone like that's not going to get saved. You give him the gospel. And look, if you're a soul winner, you know this is true. There are many people we run into where it's like, that person is just not going to get saved. They're not interested. They're rejecting it. You cannot tell me that you're going to not. I mean, do you really think you could walk up to Pope Francis and get that man saved? You've got to be kidding me. There are people that are walking dead men that have rejected the truth, and they're never going to believe. And one segment of those people are the LGBT, according to the Word of God. Point number one, they cannot receive it. So why waste our time trying to give that which is holy unto the dogs or casting our pearls before swine? They cannot receive it. They will not receive it. They certainly are not going to receive the gospel. And I'm certainly not going to try to placate someone that is implacable, that cannot be soothed or placated or appeased. Point number two, they revenge. That's what it said in Matthew 7, 6. They'll turn again and rend you. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. These people, they speak evil of the truth of God's word. They mock the Bible. They criticize the Bible. They blaspheme the Bible. They mock Jesus. They criticize us. It's like, oh, you believe in the Trinity? There's three persons and one God? Ha, ha, ha. Look at how stupid you are. They speak evil of the truth. These are people that are reprobates concerning the truth in 2 Peter chapter 2. Go in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And maybe you're familiar with in Romans 1 where the Bible says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They consider the truth of God's word unrighteous. Let me give you an example of this. I mean, Jesus is the only way to heaven, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Meaning every Muslim's going to die and go to hell. Every Hindu's going to die and go to hell. Every Buddhist is going to die and go to hell. And look, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not embarrassed about that. I am happy with our Savior that died for the sins of the whole world. And if people want to reject it, that's their problem. You know what? People would look at what I just said and say, that's evil. You're saying that every Muslim has to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? You're saying every Buddhist has to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? What are we saying? They're holding the truth in unrighteousness? It's not fair. That's not right. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. They hate the truth. Now, look. Don't get me wrong. A lot of LGBT will say they believe in God, but guess who they do not believe in? The God of the Bible. You can make up a God in your own mind. Hey, that's fine. It doesn't change reality.
Right.
2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 3. It says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They hate those that are good. Look, the LGBT doesn't just hate me, it hates all of you as well when you're trying to serve God.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. They hate us. And it says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not that, well, you know, they didn't come. No, they're not able.
Right.
It's impossible for them to believe on Jesus Christ and get saved. And it says in verse 8, it says they resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, they resist the truth, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Go in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. We'll close up. Romans chapter 1. So look, the next time somebody tells you, well, Jesus never talked about the homos, Matthew 7:6. There's your verse. It's like, well, he didn't talk about them much because there weren't that many homos, but actually, Matthew 7:6. Dogs and swine, yeah, that's actually referring to the LGBT. Why is it we should not give that which is holy unto the dogs or cast our pearls before swine? Because they can't receive it. They're not going to accept it. And because they're going to turn again and rend you, they're going to revenge. And point 3, they hate God. These people, they hate God. If you try to bring them the truth of God's word, they hate God's word.
Right.
They hate what the Bible says. They reject it. It's not that they don't know the truth. They hate the truth. There's a big difference. We're not referring to some unsaved person that's never heard the gospel. We're talking about people that know the truth and they reject it and they hold the truth in unrighteousness. It says in verse 19, because that which may be, Romans 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, so they heard about God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And look, people that want to reject God's word and then just believe this world created itself, it's just like they have wild imaginations. It's like a little kid that never grows up, because kids have a big imagination and it's fun. They create something, they write it on your paper, and you're like, what is this? It's like, and they'll say, well, you know, this is, you know, a horse or a dinosaur or whatever. Like, oh, thank you very much. It's just like, yeah, that's normal with a kid, or kids are playing and they imagine stuff, and that's fun, but that's what 5-year-olds do, not 50-year-olds. I mean, usually you kind of grow up past that stage of the wild imagination that you have when you're a young child, but not these people, because they do not want to believe in God. And if you don't want to believe in the clear evidence, it's like you got to start believing some crazy stuff. You got to have a wild imagination. You've been watching way too many sci-fi movies, my friend. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And in verse 26 and verse 27, it's referring to women being attracted to women and men being attracted to men. It's saying it's not natural. It's not normal. God did not create you that way. It's a vile and wicked affection. It's like, what's wrong with you? And then you think about the LGBT, and it's like, what is wrong with them? Just filled full of these vile, disgusting desires that no normal person has. Look, to every guy in this room, it is repulsive, the idea of men with men. It's disgusting. And look, here's the thing. The world is changing very rapidly because when I was a kid in the U.S., you know what the most popular game on the playground was? Smear the queer. That was a game. We mocked the LGBT. We made fun of them. We didn't think it was normal. It was strange. And look, everyone has told me it's the same thing here in the Philippines. For 2,000 years, that's the way people have felt. I mean, they've known what the Bible said. But when you go to societies that are rejecting God's word now, all of a sudden they start allowing all of this filth. Let me actually turn here. In my morning Bible reading, I came across a verse that I thought would tie in well with this sermon. I don't want to misquote it, but Proverbs 28, verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Pastor, you're too extreme. Well, I mean, such as keep the law contend with the wicked people, but they that forsake the law, they praise the wicked. That's what the Bible says. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. So when you see these people that are praising the LGBT, it's like, okay, you're not that godly of a person yourself, are you?
Right.
That's what the Bible says. And as God's people, we ought to contend with the wickedness because nobody else is doing it. And if you're not going to get the pillar and ground of truth in the house of God, where are you going to get it? Are you going to get it on the news? Are you going to get it from the actors and actresses? Are you going to get it from the musicians? Are you going to get it from the politicians? No. But you better believe you ought to be hearing the truth in God's house. And sadly, that's not what you see around most churches in 2024. Bible says in verse 28, And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Do you notice what that says? They did not like. They did not want to retain God in their knowledge. It's not that the evidence isn't there. They did not like to retain God. I don't want to believe in God. I don't want to believe in a God that gave me rules that I have to follow, that tells me right and wrong. I don't want to believe in that. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. It's not that the evidence isn't there. They don't want to believe in God.
Right.
They don't want to have someone telling them rules of what to do. It's not that the evidence is there. The evidence is there. They just don't want to. They literally are like a little kid that just tries to wish God out of existence. That's what they're trying to do. It's like, yeah, you know, it's normal for a little kid to put a blanket over their head and hope they can hide and just they won't get in trouble anymore. Parents won't find out. That's what a five-year-old does, Richard Dawkins. They're a bunch of idiots and wicked people. It's like, well, you know, here's the thing. You can believe whatever you want. Go ahead. Go to the tallest building in Metro Manila. And you say, I don't agree with you, Pastor. I say that you jump off that building, you're going to hit the ground and die. You disagree with me. You say you can jump off the building and just land on your feet like a cat or something from like 30 stories in the air. Go ahead and just jump off the building and believe whatever you want. It doesn't change reality, you idiot. You're still going to smash in the ground and die. And look, you don't like to retain God in their knowledge, but it doesn't change anything. It's still the same God. It's still the same rules. Go ahead and try to wish God out of existence. It's not going to work, my friend. These are the rules that God laid down. And it says this in verse 29. And it says, God gave them over to reprobate mind, verse 28, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. By the way, it says these reprobates, these homosexuals, are filled full of murder. They like violence. They're wicked, evil people. You say, well, I don't know if that's true. I think you're wrong. Really? Let me ask you a question. Who are the most famous serial killers of all time? Jeffrey Dahmer's probably the most famous. Guess what? He was a male homosexual. Perhaps number two is John Wayne Gacy. Guess what? A male homosexual. Imagine that. I'm shocked. The most famous female homosexual that they made a Hollywood movie about, Monster, where Charlize Theron won Best Actress, Eileen Wuornos, was a lesbian, the most famous female serial killer. So riddle me this. Explain to me why the most famous male serial killers and most famous female serial killers were all homosexuals. It's just a coincidence. Filled full of murder. Maybe the Bible's right. Maybe we're the ones that are brainwashed and God told us all along, but people don't read the Bible in 2024, so they don't know. It says in verse 30, backbiters, and it says haters of God. Can you imagine what it would take to cause you to hate God? Look, I'm not saying we're always happy with God's plans for our life, and I think people can get bitter and upset like Jonah or whatever, but I have never in my life had ever had a thought about hating God. I don't get that. That's bizarre to me. Isn't that strange? To hate God? You know why it's strange? I was talking to my son, Zeph, last night. And I was talking to him about just stuff in general. I try to talk to him every day. And, you know, I was talking about how I love him. And he's like, yeah, you know, I know you love me, Daddy. And I said, let me ask you, Zeph, who loves you more, me or God? And he said, God loves me more. I was like, you're right. God loves you more than I love you. Kids know that at a young age. And you know what takes place? They're very thankful for the gift of life, and they're very thankful to have a heavenly Father that loves for them and cares for them. And you know what those kids want to do with their life? Number one above anything, to make God happy. That's what they want at a young age. You know, they don't understand all the things that we understand when we get older, but at a young age, they want God to be happy with them. They want their mom and dad to be happy with them, and they want God to be happy with them. It's very bizarre for that person to one day then hate God, the one that's shown them more love than anybody in this world. And they know that. And then people have things happen in their lives and they choose to get bitter and end up hating God. That's bizarre, because the normal person, that thought has never gone through your head to hate God. But that's what these people are like, the LGBT. They hate God. They hate the God of the Bible. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, so they know the judgment of God, they know what the Bible says about the LGBT, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what the LGBT wants in life? They want everybody to do the same wicked and disgusting things that they do. That's what the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 32. They have pleasure in them that do them. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you come with an open mind to the Word of God and let the Word of God guide you into your beliefs, you will not walk away thinking the LGBT are just normal, nice, funny people. They seem so funny on TV. I mean, Vice Pong Eat is so funny. Yeah, the same guy that makes jokes about raping people. Ha ha, that's real funny. Maybe you ought to clean up what you watch for entertainment if you find that funny. These people are wicked and disgusting people. And look, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what Jesus is talking about. And look, I challenge everybody. If you think I'm over the top or extreme or wrong about what I'm saying, you're welcome to have that opinion. But if you're a saved person, I give you this challenge. Read Genesis 19 and read Judges 19. Set aside your cell phones, the TV, the entertainment, Don't go and say, well, let me just look at a commentary on... No, no, no. You read the Bible for yourself and let the Holy Spirit of God guide you into the truth. You read Genesis 19 and Judges 19, and I promise you, you come back next week, you're going to say, man, I was wrong. I was wrong. I thought Pastor Stuckey was extreme, but you know what? That's what it says in Genesis 19. That's what it says in Judges 19. That's what these people are like. So, you know, what's my advice? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine. My advice, as much as is humanly possible, stay away from the LGBT. And I get it. Some of you have coworkers that are LGBT, and you're in a tough situation, and you can't do anything about it. I get that. As much as is possible, stay away from the LGBT. And that includes relatives, neighbors. Stay away from them. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to see, you know, from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 6, God, and help us just to be willing to believe the Bible for what it says, even if it goes against our preconceived ideas, God. Help everyone that is here that's saved to just read the Bible with an open mind to determine what they believe and allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide them, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.